Welcome back, everyone. This is Gameplay. I'm your host, Matthew Cause. Joining me now, he's a man who wears many hats, the Fairway Roland podcast, all things golf. Also, he's on weekly on the Ringer Gambling Show. You hear him with Bill Simmons. He's doing, he was doing the NFL Food City Playoffs as well. It is Joe House. Joe, as always, a pleasure. Thank you for joining the show today.
Matthew, we're doing it all, baby. 2022 is our year.
Damn right. I am, what am I, 8-2 against the spread so far these playoffs.
That's outstanding. I do not share that mark. I put some undeserved faith in the Tennessee Titans last week, and I also, unfortunately, bet against Patrick Mahomes, which is, you know, just not that wise of a thing to do.
You know what? How bad do you feel for Bills fans? Like we were talking before, we were doing our top five most emotional losses, you know, just for ourselves personally. And just, I mean, that ranks up there as one of the worst gut punch losses you can remember.
You have to, I think, as a Bills fan, think about it as a glass half full thing. How
yeah.
much sweeter will it be next year when they finally conquer the Chiefs and make it to the Super Bowl? Think about how much sweeter it will taste.
Hey, you're a Washington fan. I'm a Giants fan. I would punch my mother in the throat to get Josh Allen as my quarterback.
I would not go that far, but there are definitely illegal behaviors I would engage in to bring him here. Yes.
Well, thank you. I'm a smaller person. It wouldn't really wound my mom that much. If you punch my mom in the throat, it would probably be different physical consequences.
I won't do it. I won't do it.
So what for you, Joe, was the second biggest story from the weekend? We all agree Bills-Chiefs was number one. But was it Packers losing? Was it Titans losing? The Rams' near collapse that ends with Brady being eliminated and the way he's talking now, I don't know. I think he's gone. But what for you was the – if Bills-Chiefs was the entree, what was the appetizer?
Honestly, again, this may say more about my glass half full approach to the world. I'm so impressed by the San Francisco 49ers. I want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Do you know – the last time the San Francisco 49ers received the ball and put together a drive and scored a touchdown in these playoffs? Can you recall the last time that occurred?
Oh, let's see. It wasn't last week. That's
for
sure.
It was not.
It wasn't last week. My memory is so bad. Who did say against Dallas? It would have been. It would have been in the Cowboys game. Was it the Debo Samuel run up the middle for the touchdown?
So that I should have clarified. That was a one-play drive, so I don't count that as a drive. It was a single play after a turnover. The answer
right.
to the question is the second quarter of that game against Dallas is the last time San Francisco had a drive, put together a drive, and went down the field and scored. Now, you know, to go six-plus quarters – without scoring a touchdown offensively, but to still – this last week was against the Packers was their third consecutive road playoff game, if you count Week 18 against the Rams as a road playoff game.
I do because
they would have been out. But here they are, you know, going back to Los Angeles, their fourth consecutive road playoff game, and I really like the Niners. I mean, Shanahan owns McVay as of late, and their ability to win in so many different ways, the resiliency and the strategy of minimizing Jimmy Garoppolo's ability to derail your season, it's been very effective. I'm just so impressed. To me, that's the sort of second strongest takeaway from last weekend.
Yeah, I think you're right. And also it eliminates Aaron Rodgers, who suddenly has become the biggest villain in the NFL, certainly with Antonio Brown not playing. I think my only concern, because I bet on the 49ers to win outright against Dallas. I knew they'd at least cover last week against Green Bay. But just the images of like Trent Williams and Debo Samuel and George Kittle, and they're all hobbling and limping all over the place. That, I guess, is my one concern.
We had the exact same thing going into this game against Green Bay, though. It was a short week. There was questions about Fred Warner. There were questions about Jimmy Garoppolo. There were questions about Joey Bosa. And yet they went out, Nick Bosa, they went out and took care of it. I mean, you know, all those guys, the miracle of modern science, I guess is the way we'll put it. Those guys all played, and they played effectively.
Wink. By the way, I think once a week I call Nick Bosa Joey Bosa and Joey Bosa Nick Bosa. Like that's it.
It's acquired.
Yeah.
Their parents do it too, so I'm fine with it.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, I still call them the San Diego Chargers. I think I deserve at least five more years of getting that one wrong. Do you have any early, like, it sounds to me like you're leaning towards, at least right now, the 49ers, who are 3.5-point underdog. Of course, that might be a home game with the crowd there. What about on the AFC side? The question is just this, because we're all teasing, we're all taking the Chiefs, but what is the number got to be for you to take the under in the AFC championship game?
You know what's funny? I honestly kind of love the under in that game. I think that the pass rush of the Chiefs is going to be as formidable as what Tennessee put up there. And I, you know, it sits in the low 50s right now, right? Isn't it in the low 50s?
Yeah, it's like 54.5 is what I'm seeing it at.
Yeah. So I'm going to go slightly contrary on that. We have some very powerful trends. So in these playoffs so far, all 10 teams that have won the game have also covered the spread. Now that will obviously occur when an underdog wins outright. But in these playoffs so far, it's 10 for 10. The team that wins the game is also covering. And I don't want to really go against that at this stage. Joe Burrow at quarterback, 5-2 against the spread as a road underdog. Shanahan and Garoppolo are like 14-3 as road underdogs. There's just a bunch of I hate to take both road underdogs, but that's my lean here early this week. I might be persuaded otherwise when it comes time to finalize the ticket, but that's kind of where my head's at right now.
Joined by Joe House again. Follow him on Twitter at House from DC. Check out the podcast Fairway Rolling. Check out the Ringer Gambling Show. Hey, what's going on right now? I'm trying to think. So we've got San Fran. We got I'm just thinking about your NFL Food City playoffs. You got Kansas City, and what's the Cincinnati food?
So it was the Skyline Chili. There is a kind of chili that emanated from Cincinnati. It's a little bit of a sweeter note. Now, I will tell you, for the purposes of this House of Carbs food podcast, we have not tracked the outcomes of the playoff games themselves, football games. We put these foods, these iconic food items, in their own head-to-head matchup. The final four that we have right now on the show is the Philadelphia cheesesteak, which is going up against, why am I blanking right now? I haven't had enough to eat yet today, or enough coffee. Philly's going up again. I know I'm going to be mad when I remember it. And then on the AFC side, we have two chicken contenders. The Buffalo chicken wing going up against the hot chicken from Nashville. The Nashville hot chicken upset the Kansas City barbecue, which, you know,
that's
my own self. I was on the side of the Kansas City barbecue.
It has to be the Kansas City barbecue. It gives you so much range. And for us Canadians, we don't get a lot of cornbread in our life. Give me the barbecue. You get the beans and then the ribs and the brisket. Oh my God, that is an upset.
Burnt end. Yeah. I was, now the problem is the my co-host in this thing, beloved David Jacoby and Mallory Rubin from the Ringer podcast universe, David Jacoby, obviously of ESPN's, Jalen and Jacoby, you know, everybody brings their walk of life into these competitions. And the, you know, Jacoby's been all around as a ESPN personality. And he just thought the power of the hot chicken up against, so he's had ribs in a lot of places. He's like, these are ribs. They're good ribs. I'm enjoying these ribs, but the hot chicken for him did it. So that's where we are at this stage of the game.
Listen, no one says no to the hot chicken sandwich, but still, I'm taking the barbecue. Hey, can I ask you one NBA futures bet and get your thoughts on it?
Absolutely.
Chris Paul plus 6,000 for the MVP. A big night last night against a very undermanned Utah team. But if the Suns have the best record in the West, if Paul leads the NBA in assists, if, you know, there's the odd injury here or there, and everyone loves a good narrative, Chris Paul at plus 6,000. I know it's a long shot. To me, it looks like value. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with the idea that it's value, and now is the time, exactly the time, to be looking for value on these MVP odds because of where we are. It's at the midpoint of the season, and there are yet some stories yet to be written here. And Phoenix is a really quiet, good one, right? They've gone through their own raft of injuries, their own COVID experiences, and here they sit right now with the best record in the West. And if they go on a tear here, right, if over the last 38 games or so, they win, you know, they go like 32-6 or so, maybe not even that good, Chris Paul will be a crucial part of it. And there is a sentiment out there, you know, the NBA Illuminati was prepared to give Chris Paul the MVP of the finals if Phoenix had beaten Milwaukee. He was teed up to be the finals MVP because there is a sentiment in, you know, the NBA community that he has been somewhat under-celebrated, which is kind of a weird thing, except for he's only made it to one finals, and, you know, that was, I think, his second Western Conference finals. So, yeah, I like that a lot. There are a lot of things that push in that direction. If Phoenix can hold on, if they end where they are, and his individual stats, that assist number, he's going to have to lead the league in assists for that to come through, I think.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the Robert Sarver controversy, is Ayton going to get paid? And it hasn't affected them. The Suns still, you know, one of the best records in the NBA. Hey, Joe, I wanted to, because you're uniquely qualified to answer this, because your world, a lot of it, of course, House of Carbs and on the Ringer Gambling Show. So betting and the finer things are sort of intertwined within your universe. I wanted to throw a theory by you about sports gambling and wine.
Okay, I'm all ears.
All right, because like I got a couple of years ago, I got my sommelier degree. No big deal. And I think when you start out with wine, you don't care. You're like, oh, is it red? I'll drink it. And you probably just drink Cabernet and that's it. Then you get more into it. You start drinking white. You start drinking other reds. Next thing you know, the only Pinot Noir you're going to have is from Oregon because you've just spent all this time studying it. And suddenly you go from someone who likes to get drunk on a classy glass of red. Now you're versed with all the Grand Cru from Burgundy. Then on the sports betting side, when I started, you know, it's like, okay, yeah, I'll bet the spread. And then you bet the halftime spread. Now you're looking at totals. Suddenly you're parlaying the under for assists for Pascal Siakam with the over total of the game. And now you're someone that, you know, follows the trends and now big time into sports betting. And I found sort of like an analogy where your growth in the two seem to fit.
Okay, I'm feeling it. I'm concerned for you because the amount of time that it takes to you know, cultivate the expertise with the wine, it bumps up into the amount of time it takes to you know, really crystallize credible opinions in the gambling community. Now, I do appreciate that you think of me as somebody capable of that kind of multitasking. I like to think of myself as capable of that kind of multitasking, but I will tell you, as between the pursuits in my life, the gambling on sports takes up quite a bit of time. I think that's the best way to leave it.
It absolutely does. And it shows just in the podcast you do on the Ringer Gambling Show and all the work you do with Bill Simmons. By the way, champagne pairs very well with barbecue. The acidity of the champagne will cut through that fat. Joe, before I let you go, tell everyone where they can find all your great works and podcasts and such.
Thank you very much, Matthew. So the Fairway Rolling Golf Podcast will be up tonight, this week. The tournament is starting Wednesday, not Thursday, because the powers that be at golf know that they need to have a golf tournament wrapped up before Sunday football. They're not going up against it. So Fairway Rolling up Wednesday, House of Cards up Thursday, the Ringer Gambling Show up Friday afternoon, so you can get your final bets in. As always, Matthew, thanks for having me on.
That is Joe House. Always a pleasure. Chat with you soon. Follow him on Twitter, at House from DC. All the best, and good luck with your picks, my friend.
Thanks, guys. Same to you. Thank you, Matthew.
Take care. That is Joe House from, yes, he's on the Friday Ringer Gambling Show. That's on 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.